But here's the problem. If it's not about just Jesus, then we make an assumption that there is something better, but there is none greater than Jesus, and there's nothing left. Okay, because sometimes I get frustrated because we have people that come and go, and I know they love the Lord, and it's like, God, what else can I do to win them? What else can I do to put them on fire for you? And all I can come up with is just Jesus. If I can give them Jesus and they don't want that or don't receive that, there's nothing else left for me to do. There's nothing else I can do. Every time I get up here, it is my desire to give you just Jesus and to give you just the words that he said. And if that's not enough, that's all I got. But it's all you need, too. Amen? Just Jesus. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And it talks about just this thing. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, says this: not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That means there's nothing left to save us. If Jesus isn't good enough, then we've bought a lie. Today's message is called Nothing Left. Can you say that with me? Nothing left. And that can mean so many different things. Yesterday I was wearing a t-shirt that said Nothing Left. And that is the band name of Brother Jim Lewis is a drummer in that band, and that's the name of their band. And the way that that name came to be, they were thinking and praying about a name for the band, and they come to the realization, they say, you know what, we're out of ideas. We got nothing left. And that's the name that stuck. And that nothing left can mean so many things. And as I was doing some shopping to buy some vegetables for the garden yesterday in Beaver Dam, the man read my shirt, and he said, that's just the way I feel. I got nothing left. I'm so tired. He was working. And he said, you know what? That nothing left can go so many ways. And God just began to speak in my spirit from that moment about the importance of having nothing left. Amen? John 12, 31 says this: now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Listen, churches come up with all kinds of ideas and all kinds of programs and all kinds of ministries. And we try to promote them and we try to push them and we try to advertise them. But the word of God says, listen, the only thing that will be successful in drawing people in is him being lifted up. Jesus Christ crucified and Jesus Christ alone. If Jesus Christ is not our passion, if we are not madly in love with Jesus Christ, if we can't push away all the things of this world and there'll be nothing left with Jesus, but Jesus, we risk losing it all. Because what does the word of God say? What does it profit a man to gain the entire world and lose his soul? Who secures our soul salvation? Jesus Christ alone. All of our faith, all of our hope, all of our strength must be in this Jesus Christ. Amen? Acts chapter 4, verse 11 says this: this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Meaning, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, they rejected him. Okay, he was the rejected stone. But now the word of God says this: which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. What's that mean? There's nothing left. The only hope for the world is Jesus Christ. There's nothing left. When he comes back, he's not coming back to be crucified again. He already did that. There's nothing left. There's no other way. He has to be our hope. And as soon as we begin to come to the end of ourselves, so many of us search for things that are not Jesus. So many of us, we want better jobs, better houses, better cars, better this, better that. But listen, Jesus Christ needs to be our all in all. He is worthy of all of our love. He is worthy of our obedience. He is worthy of our service because God said he's good enough. This is my beloved son. When you honor the Son of God, I have learned that he honors you. When you worship the living God, when you are a blessing to the kingdom of God, he blesses you. Amen? So, there is no other way but him. Verse 13 in Acts chapter 4 says this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were learned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Father, again, I give this message to you. This is not my message. This is not my platform. This is not my sermon. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I believe and I receive, Father God, that you will begin to animate these words and animate your people, God. Yes, I know it's a little hot in here, God, but it's hotter somewhere else. So we can be uncomfortable just for a little while to hear the word of God, to be given the truth of God, that we might run this race to the finish line, God. Let us not be discouraged by anything else. Let us not take the bait of anywhere else, God, but Jesus, Jesus. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. So listen, after Peter and John had preached, and they were so convinced of what they were preaching about this Jesus Christ, the people began to marvel at them. Who are they? Where did they come from? These ignorant men seem to know so much, because then they said, you know what? They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. The world thinks Christians are crazy because we worship a God that we cannot see. Talked about in an ancient book. But here's the thing. We have seen his marvelous works when there was nothing left, when there was no other way. When the doctors had given us up for cancer, or when I sat in the hospital with kidney failure and they said, there's no other way. You must come to the end of yourself and begin to realize that, Jesus, you're all I ever needed. And listen, we must begin to push away the comforts of this world. And I'll tell you why. When you are comfortable with the things of this world, you need Jesus less. Let me prove it to you. When you needed a job, oh, you were faithful to pray. All right? When you needed a car, oh, faithful to pray. When you needed more food in the house or your kids needed clothes, oh, faithful. I'm even going to fast about that one. All right? This is what the comfort of the world does. When you begin to be comfortable with worldly things and fall in love with the things of this world, then there's less space for Jesus. What Jesus is asking us and what Jesus is requiring us of us is this. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He already had a good life, but he knew something was missing. He wanted eternal life, all right? And Jesus knew him. He said, "Follow the commandments." He said, "I do that already." But then Jesus got to the heart of the matter. This man had a lot of worldly goods, okay? And Jesus said, "Sell them all and follow me." Listen, serving Jesus must cost us our comfort. I'm not saying that on tomorrow morning you call the electric company and say, "Pastor said I must get rid of my comfort to follow Jesus more, so I don't want electricity." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about see, we lavish ourselves, and that's the word of God. The word of God says men love themselves. They're good to themselves. But it's time that we begin to understand that we're not going to live in these bodies forever, and we need to begin to push away the comfort of this world, so there's nothing left but Jesus. Do this with me. Put your hand on your heart and say this prayer with me. Lord, search my heart. Help me rid myself of everything that's not like you. In Jesus' name. Listen, saints of God, it's so dangerous to fall in love with this world. It's so dangerous to lean on our own understanding and lean on our riches. That's why during stock market crashes, you see people jumping out of buildings because all of their hope and all of their trust was in what they could see instead of the unseen, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? We must begin to understand there is no salvation in anything else. He is the ark. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So the question is this, saints, have you reached the point of nothing left? Have you tried everything and everyone else and found them to be lacking? And I'll tell you why. It's because there is nothing left. Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me. And if you've received him as your Lord and Savior, he's the best thing that ever happened to you. But listen, it's got to stop just being something that we say from our lips and make it to our heart. Because here's what God says about a lot of us. He says, listen, you honor me with your lips. You sing, hallelujah. And he hears the praise. But he's not just going to listen, all right? He moves past the words and looks into the heart of his people. And the word of God declares this. We honor him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. See, listen, I'm trying to get you all and me to the point of nothing left. I don't want anything in the way of my love affair with Jesus Christ. I don't want anything in the way because nothing else can save us. Nothing else can bless us. Nothing else can help us but Jesus alone. And if we don't have an urgency for Jesus, then where is our hope? If we don't have an urgency for prayer, an urgency for the word, it means that there's something else. It means that there's something else. We've got to get to the point of nothing left. I've tried riches and they didn't satisfy me. I've tried this and it didn't satisfy me. I've come to know that my only passion and my only love must be for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We must get to the point of nothing left. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's why it's so important to get into the word of God, all right? How many of you, since owning a car, have had that car washed? Show me your hands, all right? You've had that car washed, okay? Because, listen, it starts out clean. It leaves the car wash clean or leaves your driveway clean. But as soon as you take it on the road, that's when the dust and the dirt and the mud, they hit that car again and it has to be washed again. Amen. Now, listen, I'm not here to tell you that you need to have your sins forgiven over and over and over again. Jesus Christ is our Savior and he saved us from our sins. But what we do have to be saved from is the rudiments of this world. The thinking of this world, the pattern of this world. And that's why the word of God says that we have to renew our minds, amen. Be not conformed to this world, but we have to be renewed in our thinking. So, although you might be Christians, and although you might be here on Sunday morning, there's some mess waiting for you on Monday morning. How many work with people and they cuss all the time? Raise your hands high. You're Christians and you work somewhere where they just cuss all the time, all right? We constantly need the washing of the word. We need, see, because listen, we're going to encounter some filth in this world, okay? And we need to be washed by the word of God because the word of God says evil communication corrupts good manners. And if you're around cussing all the time, every once in a while, you can stub your toe or something can happen to you and one of them cuss words come to your mind or out of your mouth. So that is why it is so important that we understand that, Lord, wash me with your word. Cleanse me again. Touch me again. Get to the point of nothing left. He must be our primary focus. There can be nothing above him. Even in the Ten Commandments, it is listed there that have no other God before me. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, we're still there. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself. Okay, listen. Listen to the importance of why we have to be washed of water by the word, okay? I just told you, although you're Christians, you got to go back into that dirty world, all right? So why is it important that we continue to wash ourselves with the word of God? Verse 27 tells you why. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife love of himself. For no man have ever hated his own flesh. I told you that we take good care of ourselves, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We must reach the point of nothing left. Okay? And here's a good test for that. Here's a good test for that. If God were to come to you, okay, send an angel to you tonight and ask, okay, I'm going to grant you one prayer. What is that prayer? What is your desire? Anything. I'll give you anything. Okay? Listen, make it just Jesus. Make it just Jesus. I'm scaring some of you like, whoa, I need a house. What are you talking about? Okay? But listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, if you have Jesus, you'll have the house. Do you get it? That's the devil's trick, to make you put something before Jesus and then lose out on Jesus. Always make the desire of your heart just Jesus at all times. Lord, if you desire me to have that house, you'll bless me with a house. But nothing's going in front of you. I'm not going to pray for 40 days and 40 nights about a house when I could have been worshiping you for 40 days and for 40 nights, and you're going to bless me anyway. Listen. Make it just about Jesus. Put him to the forefront of your entire life. Make sure that there is nothing left on the table, because our hearts can be a dangerous place. If anything gets in this heart that we start to love more than God, or there becomes a competition between our love for God and our love and something for this world, we can enter into sin. Because what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. So only you know what you have to leave beside or leave behind when you can reach the point of nothing left. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? And we all need to go that way. He went off and got rid of all of his riches with crazy living. And he reached the point where he was having to feed the pigs corn, and he was so desirous. He was to the point of nothing left, had no more money, couldn't buy any more food. He even desired to eat the food that he was feeding the pigs. He reached the point of nothing left, and that's where he found himself. The Word of God says he came to himself at that time. Listen, does God have to take all of our money to get us to the point of nothing left? Does God have to take our health from us to get us to the point of nothing left? God loves us so much that he will shake up your life sometime and cause that thing that you are holding on to fall. Sometimes we hold our husbands or our wives in a higher position than we hold the Lord, and the marriage will be shaken up. Why? Nothing else before me. Love me above all. And when we love Jesus Christ above all, then we're able to love our husband and love our spouse and love our children with the love of God. Let the cry of our heart be this: Lord, take me to the point of nothing left. Because listen, if you are trusting in your riches, okay, if you're feeling pretty good about yourself because of the things that you have, the blessings that God has given you, you must understand that sometimes there will come a blowing. Just for the salvation of our soul, the things that we are holding on to at a higher esteem than Jesus Christ, God can come and blow on it, and we'll be standing there with nothing left. When Jesus Christ is our portion, when Jesus Christ is the treasure of our life, we have everything. When we are rid of ourselves of worry and there is only worship left, we're beginning to understand the point of nothing left. When you can really come into worship, when you can really worship the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, You realize that you say, Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you've given me, but Lord, I lift and esteem you up higher than anything else. You are worthy of my praise and you are worthy of my worship. Yes, you have blessed me with things, but God, I don't look towards those things for my joy or my help or my strength or my comfort. I look only to you. So why does God take us to the point of nothing left sometimes? Why does God shake up our lives sometimes, take our freedom away, take our health away, take our finances away? Why is he trying to get us to the point of nothing left? Is it because he's mean? No. It's because he loves us. And Isaiah 42:8 says this, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. We must understand that sometimes God wants us to get to the point of nothing left, meaning no hope in myself. This thing is bigger than me, so that we might call on the name of God and he might receive maximum glory, okay? Because if there is something that God is calling you to do and you feel like comfortable in doing it, then he's not going to get all the glory out of it. Amen? There's some things on my plate right now that I'm praying about. And when I look at them in my natural eyes, I'm like, God, this is big, okay? And he said, oh, praise God. The reason he shows us things that are bigger than him is to activate our faith, not our fear. It's to activate our faith and say, God, I know you can do it. So listen, sometimes David said, I got to encourage myself. And I've been doing that too, Lord. Listen, don't let the devil discourage you. I don't care what you're going through. Listen, if you're at the bottom of a situation, if you're at the bottom of a problem, that means you're at the lowest point and there's nothing left. You've exhausted all of your ideas. You've exhausted everything that you know how to do. And that is when God steps in and gets the glory because he doesn't share it. Do you understand? You're not going to be able to figure it out. When you are in need of a blessing from God, when you need him to do something big, if you could figure it out, that would make you like God. But listen, he said, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So we don't need to understand everything. We just need to believe. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus. How do we get to the point of nothing left? I tell you this, just like a bathtub has a drain, all right, we've got a drain too. And we've got to be careful that we don't leave that drain in too much, all right? So just imagine with me for a moment that there's a drain on your belly button, okay? And all the cares of this world begin to fill you as long as that thing is stopped up. I'm telling you, every once in a while, every day, you've got to pull the plug on the world and let it all drain out so there's nothing left, because you want to serve God in the fullness of who you are. Amen. You want to allow John 3:30 to be accomplished in you, which is this. He must increase, but I must decrease. Listen, I have found the key to help, to health, to prosperity, to happiness, to a better marriage, to all kinds of things. You know what? The more I decrease, the more God increases me. Why? Because the less of me there is, the more of him there is. So you think you're blessed now, pull your belly button. You think things are going good now, pull it out. You understand what I'm saying? Every day we got to pull the drain on this world, because that's when the spiritual cancer starts to fester inside of us, okay? Here's what God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Here's what he said, all right? He didn't say that we were going to be full of stale water. He didn't say we're going to be full of pond water, because if you know something about pond water, okay, if there's nothing in there to move the water, it becomes stagnant and it begins to stink. And that is why many of you have stinking thinking. That is why many of you have depressed thoughts. That is why many of you have no hope, because you've allowed yourself to become full of the toxic cares of this world. You've got to pull the plug. As soon as the devil comes in, listen, that's why the devil's able to come in like a flood when we have the cares of the world inside of us and the devil's beating us down. Well, how are you going to pay that? How are you going to do that? Your mom died of cancer. How's that going to happen? You know what you got to start doing? Pull the plug.
Satan, I rebuke you. I come against you now in the name of Jesus. I'm going to get rid of the cares of this world. I will not be afraid. Listen, the only place that the spirit of fear can be contained is if you close it up. If you close up yourself and begin to fester and to think and be depressed and say, God, what's going on? Why are you taking so long? The word of God promises us this, that we will be full of living waters. Living waters. Listen, pull the plug on the things of this world so there is nothing left. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being afraid sometimes. Can we be real in here? Is anyone tired of being afraid? Is anyone tired of being stepped on? Listen, you got to get to the point of nothing left. God, if you don't do it, it won't be done. If you don't do it, it won't be done. Lord, my hope, listen, pulling the plug releases your self-confidence. God hates pride. He hates it. He hates pride because pride robs God of glory, because pride gets in his way. He wants to perform. He wants to do something big. But as long as we contain our confidence in ourselves, as long as we contain our hope in the things of this world, we become like a vessel with a hole in it that cannot be filled with the glory of God. Listen, when we begin to decrease to the point that we say, God, I don't care how you do it. I don't care what you do. Listen. How God gets glory is his business. Only thing that we have to preoccupy ourselves with is faith. That's all he's called us to do. Do you know how you're saved? By faith. That's what connects us to God. That's what gives us eternal life. That's what gives us all the blessings of God. That's what heals us. That's what delivers us. That's what saves us. It's our faith in God. No confidence in this flesh. That's why we have to get to the point of nothing left. Nothing left. God wants to bless your nothing left. Do you hear what I said? God wants to bless your nothing left. He wants to take that little bit and make it much in your hands. Do you remember the story of Elijah when he had to go to the widow woman's house? And he said, God has sent me here to sustain me. And she said, well, I don't know. You must have the wrong address. I'm 202. 203 is over there. He said, no, this is the right place. And what did she say? All I have. This is it. There's nothing left but this. I've got a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal, and as soon as I eat this, we're going to die. I'm to the point of nothing left. Listen, I declare in Jesus' name that if you begin to let God have your nothing left, is that he will come and increase you and his glory will be extended in this world, but it takes your nothing left. Because if you had a lot, you would have your trust in that lot. Do you remember Gideon? He started with over, was it 32,000? He had 32,000 soldiers, and he was pretty glad about it. Going to battle, okay, full of confidence. God hates your confidence, but he loves your faith. He hates self-righteousness, and he hates self-confidence because that leads to pride, but he loves our faith. 32,000 soldiers were there, and they said, all right, we can do this. And then God hit the nothing left button. We're so scared of that nothing left. Do you know why? Because we walk by sight and not by faith. That's why it terrifies us to pay our tithes sometimes. That's why some of us only tip God instead of really bless God, because we feel like if we ever get to the point of nothing left, that he's a God that's going to rob us and he won't feed us and he won't pay the bills. But that's a lie. My God has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. Listen, in order to have a harvest, you must sow something. Listen, I worked over 9 hours with the help of Brother Adam yesterday in our garden. There was weeds this high in my garden. But after 9 hours of working, now you couldn't tell what it looked like the day before. If you give God your nothing left, If you give God your impossible situation, if you give God your depression, if you give God your sickness when you're to the point of your nothing left, that is when he will step in. He waits on our nothing left. He waits on our nothing left. Gideon started with 32,000 soldiers and went all the way down to 300. And that is when God stepped on the scene and says, now I'll take it, because now you don't trust in the numbers. Listen, it's impossible to walk in the nothing left if you walk by sight. Because this physical realm is what the devil controls. He controls the physical realm, okay? Our confidence and our hope must be in our invisible God who does visible things. Say this with me. My invisible God does visible things. Again, my invisible God does visible things. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We must get to the point of nothing left. Nothing left. And that's the importance of fasting. And I sense this in my spirit, church. We need to start fasting more. Because what fasting does is creates an urgency inside of you. Yes, a physical hunger, but our prayer is this. God, when you feel that hunger coming on, say, God, I know I feel my stomach is growling and I'm hungry for the things of this world, but God, would you teach me the hunger this way in the spirit? Because that's where the blessings are. Okay, your physical needs are great and God's going to supply them, but God has said something very important about our spiritual needs. And he says this, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Amen? Hands on your stomachs with me. Let's pray this prayer together. Jesus, you're all I need. You're all I've ever needed. Forgive me for not hungering and thirsting and sacrificing more. I never intended for the blessings to overtake my hunger for the blesser. In Jesus' name, amen. The reason that I'm preaching this message today is because God is trying to wake us up, because he's soon to come. And listen, if you are so tuned in with your natural sight and natural hunger, there's going to come a day that the only way to buy groceries or to buy any food or do any business is to take the mark of the beast. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is why God is shifting his people. He's trying to take our dependency off the things of this world and put it fully on him. Some of us haven't been in that place in a long time to not know where our next meal is coming from. But that is why we must begin to fast and hunger for just the things of God, because it's a dangerous thing. I would hate for it to happen today, and we all be in line for the mark. Do you hear what I'm saying? Pastor there too. Didn't you just preach? Yeah, but I got a family to feed. How many believers are going to be in that line? How many believers are going to take the mark of the beast so they can continue buying and selling in this world? Listen, it's too late to build up your faith by then. Your faith has to be secure right now. You have to have a made up mind right now. You must reach the point of nothing left right now to say, God, you are all I need. And if I die of hunger, then I just die of hunger. But I am not taking the mark of the beast. But listen, even before the mark of the beast comes, there's the spirit of the beast already here. And the spirit of the beast is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist spirit has been here for a very long time. Can I get everyone's attention? The Antichrist spirit has been here for a very long time. And if you're not careful, it might be in you already. Do you hear what I said? It all depends on our dependency. Are we dependent on God Are we dependent on the things of this world? Are we passionate about God, or are we passionate about the things of this world? Because listen, it starts right here. Your heart. Why did God make that the greatest commandment? He didn't say giving your tithes is the greatest commandment. He didn't say feeding the poor is the greatest commandment. He said loving me with all your heart. That's the greatest commandment. Let's stand to our feet at this time.